Hi, I'm Mark Buck. I'm a white OG Christian. I am a father to your interviewer, or your host, a husband to Kathy, and really blessed to be her husband. I'm also a father to Shelby, and a grandfather to their children, six wonderful grandkids. My culture is flavored most by the fire service. Been there for almost 40 years now. And how I was raised, who I was raised with, and who I'm around now. And you're about to experience the cultural Christ.
Welcome, everyone. I'm your host, J.W. Buck. In this podcast, we explore the intersection between the Christian faith and cultural identity. We hold interviews with followers of Jesus to discuss the way our faith impacts our culture and how our cultural identity impacts faith. Now to this week's episode. Welcome, everyone. I have the pleasure of interviewing my father, Mark Buck. Dad, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. I'm excited to do this.
Yeah. First question. I know you really well, but people don't know you really well. I would love for you to talk a little bit about your upbringing and your cultural background.
Well, I was raised in Texas, a town in West Texas. Lots of people are familiar with it. If you saw the movie Friday Night Lights or the TV show, that's the high school I went to, Permian High School. I'm the old guy. I graduated in 81, a very, very long time ago, in a land far away. My cultural background, where I was raised, flavored, impacted, had a big influence on culture-wise. My mom and dad divorced when I was really young, and wound up living with my mom until some years later when my dad got custody and I was able to get back with him. But really his parents, my grandparents, his parents, the ones that raised me, they had a tremendous cultural impact on me. The community that I was raised in is pretty white for the most part, with a big Hispanic influence. My grandparents had a farm and ranch, and a lot of the guys that worked on that farm and ranch, more so before they had me and years before, they were approaching retirement age when they got me. But just tremendous Hispanic influence in my life through the farm, the ranch, not so much through school, though school was pretty diverse until I got to high school. Permian in 1981, it had been integrated, but it was not functionally integrated. Not a lot of African-American kids, quite a few Hispanic kids, but pretty white overall when you speak about the culture part of it. Long story short, I made my way into the fire service, moved to Dallas to go to college, made my way in the fire service in the early 80s, and very diverse from where I was from and what my life was like. Lots and lots of black folks, lots of Hispanic, and of course, lots of white folks, but diverse there. And then in 89, we moved to the Northwest. I went to work for the Seattle Fire Department, which I still do. And even more diverse, where in the Seattle Fire Department, we have every people group you can imagine under the sun. East African, Asian, of course. In the citizens that we serve, it's an extremely diverse. Seattle's a melting pot on so many levels. So I would say in the beginning of my life, culturally, it was pretty white.
Yeah.
I don't look at that as a negative thing. It is what it is. It was just, that's the way it was. And then over time, it became more and more diverse, my life experience. And then, and not just racially speaking, you know, in the Northwest, we've got people of all kinds of different persuasions, sexually and otherwise. And I am a Christ follower. That's my true north, if you will, as it relates to my culture. That is probably the greatest lens that I look at my culture, family, everything through,
yeah,
because that's who I am. But it's very interesting in the Northwest to be a Christ follower in this environment.
Thanks so much for that intro. There's so much to unpack. For those that are listening and can't see, behind my dad, there's some cowboy hats. There's Mojo Country, which I believe is a reference to Permian High School. Let's talk a little bit about Texas culture. We had another buddy of mine, Josh Lewis, same age as me, family also from Texas, also planted a church. He explored it a little bit, but what's unique about Texas? Because there's two states in the country related to California and Texas that kind of do their own thing. There is some unique aspects to the culture. I'd love to know from your perspective, and you're not speaking on behalf of the whole state, all Texans, but what's unique about that subculture in America?
Well, let me just describe it. You'll not find a more friendly bunch of people on the planet than you'll find in Texas, and in particular in West Texas, where I'm from. As an example, I took a friend home back to Texas to visit some years ago. And we went to a rodeo in a large coliseum. And before we could get from the entrance to our seats, we'd been invited to dinner several times. Several people had asked where we were staying. Did we need a place to stay? And all the women that hugged me hugged him.
Yeah.
By the time we got to our seat, he said, "Buck, does everybody in Texas, everybody in this coliseum know you? And are all the women this friendly?" And that's pretty representative of West Texas in particular, but Texas in general. And I know that's a generalization, but
yeah,
Texas is, it's a big place. Climate-wise, it's very diverse. It's a big place culturally. You'll find some areas that are exclusively Black. You'll find some areas that are almost exclusively Vietnamese. You'll find areas, of course, that are pretty much white. You'll find every faith group you can imagine in that state. Texans overall are pretty hardworking, I would say, as a group. They are very jealous of their culture, not jealous is not the right word, but just very proud. For instance, one of the most successful slogans ever coined in Texas had to do with littering, and it is, "Don't mess with Texas."
That's where that came from. I had no idea.
That's exactly where it came from. It's
littering.
It's not a slogan meant for people that come in from other places, though some may feel that way. You know, the cry you hear often is "Remember the Alamo." Well, I think it has less to do. I don't know. It's all about the fact that Texas is independent in so many ways. Texas is not just a geographical place. It is a thought. It is a dream. It is a mindset. As an example, my friends from high school and I are in touch on Facebook and otherwise, and at a reunion, it is just that. We share that, as the slogan goes, you can take the boy out of Texas, but you can't take Texas out of the boy. We've been out of Texas since 1989. I still talk funny. Or as my mother-in-law used to tell people when they said she talked funny, she'd say, "Honey, you're hearing me funny."
You're hearing me funny. That's wonderful. And I mean, as your son, I feel Texan, both because you raised me and mom raised me. And even though I left when I was young, we went back a ton when I was a kid. But I feel that way in so many ways, having that instilled in me, all these different values of hard work, independence, defending people that need defending. It's like a very Texas value. And the hospitality piece, learning that also from you guys. Talk a little bit, and we're getting to the church piece even before Jesus, but how does that culture influence church and vice versa? You know, what is it like going to a typical church in Texas, at least when you were growing up? I know there's the Baptist component, it's white, but I guess how does Texas culture influence the church, or what was the church experience like for you?
The cultural influence that you would see in the church when I was younger is the Blue Laws. Blue Laws were, they basically legislated the Sabbath, if you will. For instance, stores weren't open on Sunday. Now, you could go to First Cafeteria after church. The places where you could eat like that were open because people would gather after church and go to, like, say, First Cafeteria was one of those gathering places. But Commerce places weren't open on Sunday. The county I was in was not dry. The county next to us was dry. So each county decided if they were going to be dry or not.
Yeah.
And so you could buy beer, but you couldn't buy hard liquor. And so on the edge of Ector County, the county I was from, and Andrews County, the county to the north, there was a giant liquor store. And people would drive all the way from Andrews to Pinky's Liquor Store on the edge of the county for hard liquor. Lots and lots of other things that flavored the culture, that influenced the culture, that had to do with the church. That's since changed. Now you'll find everything open on Sunday, like it has across the nation. And Texas wasn't unique in that way. I would say Bible Belt, and that, for lots of people, that means lots of things.
Yeah.
It's super negative for some, very positive for others. A lot of people went to church. I won't speak to people now, but at that time, a lot of people went to church And that was a social thing that they did, an act that they performed on Sundays and maybe Wednesday nights. But if you were really able to quiz them about it, you wouldn't find that they were necessarily sold out for Christ, but they were connected to the church. That was a big social component for them. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying party on Saturday night and go to church on Sunday, but big family environment. When I was very young, and I'll transition into my church experience. When I was very young, when my parents divorced at a very young age, my mom got custody of me. She shouldn't have. Very abusive, really, really bad environment on a lot of levels. And there was a little church not far from where we lived called Vine Avenue Baptist Church. I was anything but an acceptable, good little kid. I mean, we were pretty much raising ourselves, and it was just a bad, bad situation. And I would make my way to Vine Avenue Baptist Church on Sundays, and I was accepted.
Mm.
There were people there that treated me like family.
Wow.
I smelled as bad as you can smell. Because, like I say, when you're a kid raising yourself, bathing's not top priority. And then I took my sisters at various points along the way. And at one point, my mom went and had a faith experience there. I don't know how genuine it was. It didn't seem to take, because the behavior didn't change a whole lot over time. But nonetheless, so that was my first remembrance of church. And that was probably third grade. And then we lived different places. And when you're a kid and you don't have an adult that's helping you to do church, if you will, then you kind of go where you can when you can. Big thing there at the time were bus ministry. That's where they drive these buses into neighborhoods. And it was almost like the ice cream man coming to town. They'd come early in the morning with a bus and pick kids up and take them to church. And in those church environments, you got snacks and you learn the songs that you learn at church about Jesus. And you were exposed to who he is and why he loves you and why the church loved you. And so, but my church experience was kind of hit and miss until I went to live with my grandparents. My dad got custody of me, and he was single at the time and worked in a chemical factory. I couldn't live with him because he was gone a lot. I went to live with his parents, my grandparents. My grandmother went to a Presbyterian church. And so we went there pretty much every Sunday. And that was her church experience and her faith experience. Grandfather didn't go. Eventually came to faith right before he passed many, many years later. And then after going to St. Paul's Presbyterian, went to Crescent Park Baptist Church, and that's where I began to explore faith for myself, and that was in high school.
Yeah, and thinking about the different denominational flavors, a Presbyterian church was probably a little bit more high church feel, which has some beauty to it and history to it, and then the Baptist churches, from my perspective, Dad, I'd love to hear from you, which is such a massive influence in the South. You could have 4th, 5th, 6th Baptist church of the whatever in the valley. And it's, I mean, there's just a lot of them, right?
Yeah.
They really emphasize a personal relationship with Jesus and conversion and the different programs of the church. That's kind of the unique strengths and weaknesses of the Baptist faith. Was that good for you getting into the Baptist church and them really calling you to that relationship?
It was very good. I would say the hallmarks of the Baptist church, as I experienced it, were the senior pastor was a guy by the name of Bob Bratcher, just passed away not too long ago. Really godly dude, very practical Christ follower, though, and an unbelievable shepherd. But the hallmark of that particular church is kind of representative of the Southern Baptist Convention, which is Southern Baptist churches, a central focus on the Word of God and the Word of God being preached on Sunday morning. There was a gospel component quite often, but it was oftentimes preaching through the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. On Wednesday nights, you came together and you had a meal, a lot of food, a lot of fellowship. And so you came together and we had a time of prayer. And then there was a little more in-depth teaching for growth and so forth. Not really small groups so much. Sunday school was kind of the small group, if you will. Those happen on Sunday mornings, more in-depth teaching and relationships. And then another night of the week, there was visitation. And you were going to visit people that were ill or in need,
really,
that couldn't physically come to church. And then we were also visiting those people interacting with those folks that had visited church that didn't know Christ. And so there's lots of training on evangelism, how to effectively share your faith and lead someone to faith. But lots of the Church of Christ is a big deal in Texas. Was. I can't speak now. Haven't lived there since 89. We go back some and have family there. But Church of Christ was a big deal. Methodist Church, big deal. Various shades and persuasions of Pentecostal, like I say, and Presbyterian, Church of Christ, Methodist, various flavors of Methodist, you know, kind of like there is now, for different reasons. And then when I left Odessa, I went to Bible College in downtown Dallas. It was affiliated with First Baptist Church, and big church, big in the Southern Baptist Convention. And the president of our school, a guy by the name of Paige Patterson, just as I was going to Bible College, that's when the whole inerrancy debate came about. And Paige Patterson, a lot of the other people on staff there, of course, W.A. Criswell, who's the pastor at First Baptist Church forever and ever, he was at the forefront of that.
That's really interesting, talking about the various denominations and how many of them there were. The unique components, the cultural components of the Baptist faith is good. And yeah, you just hit on a massive debate that was swirling primarily within the white American churches and denominations around inerrancy, and how do we look at the Bible kind of in modernity, you know, and how do we test it? So that's really fascinating. I do want to ask about the intersection between, for you, following Jesus, being a Christ follower, as you put it, and your own cultural identity. And the way that we're defining cultural identity could be a lot of different things. It is ethnicity, which a lot of people go to that right away, but it's family, you know, who you're married to, the area in which you currently live. And so I'd love to hear from your perspective, the intersection between, for you, following Jesus and how God made you in this cultural moment.
Well, I came to faith in Christ while in Bible College. Without getting into it too much, I was working my way to heaven one rung at a time up to that point. Because of how I was raised, a whole lot of lack of approval. So you're always seeking approval and so forth. And I pursued my faith in that way. The more you do, the more you learn, the better you are, the more acceptable you are to God. And I came to, as you say, a crossroads where I came to realize that if I were going to be saved, it was by grace alone, by faith through grace. That began a whole nother, as you know, when you come to Christ, everything starts to change. Certainly your thinking and who you are and all the rest. And you talk about who I am and culture and so forth. Up until I came to faith in Christ, really thought more about Jesus as being white and less about Jesus being a Jew. And that's not, I don't pin that on anybody but me. I'm certain that the teaching was reflective of who Jesus was culturally.
Yeah.
But you got to keep in mind, back then, the news that we had didn't have what's on the news now. We didn't have the internet. We weren't looking at the world daily, watching what's unfolding around the world. For instance, right now, as it relates to Hamas, as it relates to Gaza, as it relates to the nation of Israel. Over time, my knowledge of who Jesus was became more informed as it relates to his cultural identity. And that impacted me in that, you know, I had some family members along the way, a grandfather that was Native American, and they basically beat that out of him. He didn't speak of it. It was not okay. He was ostracized by lots and lots of people because of it, you know, and I see that in the life of Christ. You know, he was ostracized as well. Not so much, well, because of where he was from in some cases, but more because of who he was and because he stood for who he was without apology. But my faith, as it relates to culture, one thing that happened that was a big deal in the Southern Baptist Convention at the time, and I'm sure still is, was missions. And so a big chunk of the budget was dedicated to missions. It went to the Southern Baptist Convention. However, lots and lots of people went on mission trips, if you will. In many cases, for us, you go to Mexico because it's close. But they had mission groups, mission fields that were Salt Lake City, Utah, because of the large Mormon population. But my personal cultural connections is related to Christ and how I related to other people in altering my views. Whether I held them intentionally or held them by default, as it related to other cultures and other people really happen in the fire department serving people. Because you serve a lot of white folks, serve a lot of black folks, serve a lot of every color in between in the yep. fire service. The same is true in Seattle. As we saw, you know, folks moving to the Seattle area from Somalia and other East African countries. And you become exposed to that culture and you realize that there are certain things you can and can't do in the midst of rendering aid to people. It's one thing if their house is on fire. It's another thing if somebody's having a medical emergency, how you physically interact with them, how you verbally interact with them. Those are all cultural things. And for me, because of who he made me and how he's fashioned me to be very interested in people for the purposes of getting to know them, but more importantly, identifying how I can serve them and at some point have the right privilege and honor to share how they could know Christ. It caused me to, I don't know, just to be more open to where people are from and where they're coming from, which is different than where you're from, and where they're going and how that all comes together. Does that answer the question?
Absolutely. And Dad, hearing you kind of narrate and talk through it is really good and fascinating. You know, so many of our churches are a reflection of our people group, and that's a human inclination that we're around people that are like us, and we tend to gather around people who are like us, both economically, socially, culturally. But you're saying that your cultural boundaries were expanded primarily, one, through understanding Jesus and his cultural background, and that's going all the way back to Bible college days, and the emphasis on missions. So we need to care about people of other cultures because missions is important. And then also the fire department, where it's through interactions cross-culturally that you're learning how to care for those people with the love of Jesus. Am I getting that right?
Yep. And I didn't hit on this. Inside the fire service, big deal, you know, for people that don't know, inside the fire service, not all fire departments are very diverse. Seattle is extremely diverse as far as the people that work there, and all kinds of conflict and drama because it's a bunch of people. But one of the biggest blessings for me inside the fire service, apart from the wonderful relationships that I have, love relationships, right? You know, you love people. I've lost lots and lots of friends and coworkers over the years. And you come to treasure those relationships as I'm aging, and now we're all facing health challenges and other stuff. It reminds me yet again, but in all these different roles that I've had in the fire service, you just treasure those relationships. You get to work together, and they pay you to do what you do, though most wouldn't admit it. We'd probably do it for free because we love it that much. But those relationships, and when you have those kind of relationships with people, and you have conflict with people in the midst of those relationships, you learn about them, and they teach you about yourself.
Mm.
And I've had that happen in the church as well. Don't misunderstand me. I have people, and I should add along the way, too, not only have I participated in church, but I've also served as a pastor for various times in various ways, and I served as a small groups pastor and led service teams and a bunch of other stuff for a church of several thousand people. And because of my fire department schedule, I worked a full-time schedule doing that. But it became really obvious to me that if we're doing church and most of our connections are Christian people, and I use quotes, Christian people,
yeah,
then you don't have a whole lot of exposure to people that don't know Christ. And it was refreshing to me and eye-opening to me. And I don't speak against or about any other pastor. I'm just saying my role, my experience was, it was wonderful for me to serve as a pastor in that environment and serve the body of Christ in lots of capacities, but to also each and every week be back in the environment that was not church, that was hostile to the gospel, that had no interest whatsoever in what God wanted, maybe what God might be able to do for people, But now, granted, lots of other Christ followers in the fire service. I don't want to paint it the wrong way, but it was really good. And I had someone tell me early on as I went on staff at a church, they said, your perspective of being around people that don't know Jesus and having an outward perspective is going to be super helpful for a while. But after a while, that's probably going to go away. And they weren't being rude or unkind. They were just saying their perspective was, when you start to lead at that level or church becomes your main focus with a big chunk of your life, then oftentimes our focus may not be outside the walls of the church. When I stepped down from being a pastor and actually bumped up my role in the fire service for the last 10 years, what I do now, I found that to be just as delightful as when I was a pastor leading lots of people and all of that. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. And one thing I'm sensing and hearing, and correct me if I'm off, as you talk about the culture of others, and I love even within the church, the understanding of we need to be engaged in the broader culture. And one of the main ways is through work and what we're doing outside of it and how pastors can get siloed and really lose perspective, like a sports commentator who's been out of the game too long. And so they just kind of get that mentality. They lose touch with what's going on. You know, when I hear you, and this is for those who are listening about culture, there are two missteps on two ends of the pendulum when we think of like how to engage people cross-culturally. One is to focus so much on culture that it can become an idol. It can become, it's in our head. We're thinking too much about the differences or the similarities in the language. And so we're paralyzed because that's all we're thinking about, or completely ignore it and act like how this person's talking, how this person's acting doesn't have to do with their ethnicity. They're in America, or, you know, they're poor and we make all these assumptions, or whatever, they're rich and we make these assumptions. And so what does it look like to prioritize what you said, which is relationship, friendship, and allowing that to be a window into the culture? That's such a challenge for us to know that balance as we, you know, you doing dispatch right now for the fire department are serving literally thousands of different cultural backgrounds. And how do you do that in a sensitive way, but also get the job done? That's an art.
Yeah. Well, it's impossible apart from Christ. Impossible. No way, no how. If it wasn't for Jesus, anybody, in our own flesh, in our own power, in our own way, we're gonna be way too one-sided, just as you described, and we're not gonna be effective. I would say that one of the biggest things that has impacted me as far as how I relate to culture and how I view culture, both where people are from and where they're coming from, where they're from geographically, but where they're coming from as far as their life experience. Some years ago, I began to look at discipleship entirely differently. And it's reflected in the scriptures without getting into a bunch of verses and going on and on about it. Just making disciples of Christ. He does the hard work. He does the making. But I engage in a relational way. And for me, the shortest distance between where I am, where I'm coming from, and where someone else is coming from is a relationship. Now, there are lots of people I don't get to be in relationship with. And all of my relationships, I think of this in a simple fashion. There are people that I'm in relationship and I'm different because of them and how they cause me to grow. There are other people that are hard to be in relationship, but I'm in relationship with them because God's called me to do so that I might either model Christ or at some point speak of Christ to them. But all of that happens relationship-wise. Whether they're hard to be in relationship with because of my challenges, their challenges, whatever the case may be, or they're easy to be in relationship with. For me, it goes back to, I'm on this planet for one thing, to bring glory to God and introduce others to Him and to see them grow up in their faith. And when I think in terms of making disciples, which we're called to do very clearly in the scriptures, I don't see a giant cultural mandate there. I think culture's a part of it, just like gender's a part of it.
Yeah.
And I think if I'm going to be effective in following Christ and making disciples, then it's going to be in the midst of a relationship, whether it's a relationship inside the walls of a church or outside the walls of a church, whether it's in a relationship where we share the same political ideologies or we're total opposite ends of the spectrum. It makes a difference, but it doesn't. I believe that I've been called to be in relationship with people. That doesn't mean we don't have conflict. I don't get called out. I don't call them out. But it's for the purposes of meeting the need. And I have found from a cultural standpoint, and I've thought about this long and hard, long before this interview, I work at being in relationship with people, whether it's family, friend, or stranger. And I look for ways to serve them in the midst of that relationship, you know, connect and serve. That's something that, and that's Cooper in the background. I apologize. Yeah. On Instagram, that's my handle, connect and serve. That's what I'm about. And so I say that to say this, I wait for the wheels to fall off. I don't want that for people. I don't want them to go through pain and suffering and hard times and conflict. I don't want that at all. However, I know that when people, especially those that are far from Christ, or maybe don't have any interest at all, or even hostile to him. I know that when they experience challenges in their lives, they're more open to me. I won't speak for anybody else, but they're more open to me serving them. And in serving them, my ulterior motive, if you will, is when the opportunity comes up to speak of Christ, to in some way introduce them to Christ, and that's my goal.
Yeah.
And whether you're standing in front of a couple thousand people preaching, or whether you're on your knees next to someone in the midst of a seizure who's now postictal, just waking up. Granted, the fire department's a little harder to proclaim Christ because they're pretty hostile to it as a culture, and there's reasons they don't want you to say anything like that, but that doesn't keep you from modeling what it means to care for people when they're hard to care for and so forth. Yeah, again, it goes back to relationship, and for me, I care deeply about culture. Don't misunderstand me, but I care more about being in relationship with people. Therefore, I will figure out where they're from and where they're coming from so that I can be in relationship with them. And so that I'm interested, I'm curious, and I know it honors them when I honor who they are and all the things that make them who they are. Whether I agree with it or like it or not, it makes no difference. It's my responsibility to learn about them.
That's awesome. Well, I really appreciate the time, Dad, for being on. And yeah, I'm grateful to hear your story through this particular lens. I even learned a few things through it, so it's been great. Thanks for being on.
Yeah, I love you, bud. Proud of you. Glad to get to participate.
Thank you so much for listening. If you want more content, you can go to jwbuck.org or follow me on Instagram, handles jwbuck. If you have any questions about culture, cultural identity, or faith, feel free to send me a message. Hope you'll join us next week.